You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Last year, as online food ordering application Zomato turned 10, it proclaimed its desire to be a farm-to-mouth food company. It also acquired Tungsten, a startup in the corporate catering space, for a speculated sum of $18 million, as also a drone delivery startup called Tech Eagle Innovations, with a hope to start delivery by unmanned aerial vehicles at some point. It even seemed poised to launch its own digital wallet. Till, of course, a live video brought back into focus the human factor that often gets ignored amid all these spreadsheets and big numbers. The video that set social media aflame showed a Zomato delivery person opening up a food pack, eating some of its contents, and then closing the food pack again before delivering it to a customer who did not know any better. In addition to the many horrified voices on Twitter, also began a debate about privilege, ethics, and social pecking order. Zomato issued a statement saying that the person in question was removed from service. The company underscored its commitment to stop the possibility of food tampering with tamper-proof tapes and said it would educate its delivery fleet of over 150,000 partners to highlight such deviations. Zomato, the largest food delivery platform in the country, also conceded that it had grown immensely over the last year on the back of its large and tireless fleet of delivery partners. On this edition of Digging Deeper, we're not going to just talk about this particular incident, but also discuss in depth the Food Safety and Standards Authority of India's issuance of revised guidelines for e-commerce food companies. As reported by multiple news outlets, the revised guidelines are meant to re-operationalize licensing and registration of e-commerce food companies and increase scrutiny of their operations. We did, however, begin the big story with an anecdote about the Zomato delivery person, because at the heart of all businesses, especially a food delivery business, are people who can make or break it, people who trust that they will be served, and the people who serve. It is this last element that is often overlooked both by the consumers and the companies. A look at the food delivery app ecosystem and the new guidelines is our topic of discussion on Digging Deeper with Money Control, with me, Rakesh.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
Swiggy to Zomato, food delivery apps are now under a bigger microscope.
The Zomato delivery assistant at the center of the recent storm has evoked polarized opinions about work ethic and unmet human needs. Zomato's rival Swiggy has been for a while running campaigns to humanize its delivery partners and suggesting that customers know the name of those who rush against time to serve them. Delivery assistants obviously form part of any e-commerce business, and in July 2018, Swiggy and Zomato hiked their salaries. The incomes of delivery partners surged, with delivery personnel earning between 25,000 and 50,000 rupees per month, depending on factors such as the number of deliveries completed and the distance they cover. According to Red Sea Consulting, the sharp rise in incomes mostly reflects the boom in the Indian online food delivery market, which is expected to triple in size over the next 3 years from $700 million in 2017. Swiggy confirmed that incomes of their delivery staff have increased because delivery partners were able to carry out a higher number of deliveries. And since they're paid per order, the increase in number of orders fulfilled by them has resulted in an increase in payouts. So as you can see, the perks are linked mostly to the number of deliveries made, and market watchers have already called the income model unsustainable. Mint quoted Ujjwal Chaudhary, engagement manager e-tailing at Redseer, as saying, and I quote, "With such fast growth, there are challenges for the companies to fulfill, which leads to higher payout to delivery executives. It is a short-term trend and cannot be a sustainable strategy, because any hyperlocal industry is tight on unit economics and they cannot keep burning money," unquote. Still, as some analysts have pointed out, it would be in the overall interest of online food delivery businesses to offer exponential growth to delivery partners so that the Zomato delivery person becomes an anomaly rather than the norm. Benefits like insurance and easy finance for vehicles will go a long way in making life better for men glorified in media campaigns as hunger saviors. As Sandeep Goyal wrote on Rediff, and I quote, "The Zomato controversy has many lessons. First and foremost, with the explosive growth that the digital food service industry has had in the past few years, there are no standards, no guidelines on how the industry must train, certify, and handle its workforce, especially the delivery personnel," unquote. He also added that there ought to be proper norms and proper tracking and proper auditing of the work hours and work conditions of these personnel. He said, and I quote, "Social media is full of stories of food delivered at 1:45 a.m. to a customer, with the delivery boy yet to make another couple of delivery stops before he can go home and have his dinner," unquote. What makes brands like Foodpanda, Swiggy, Uber Eats, and of course Zomato run is also the trust invested in them by the customer, who believes that not only will the food arrive on time in a pristine condition, but also that it would have been cooked hygienically. To take cognizance of that and to nip any controversy before it erupts, in September 2018, Zomato delisted several restaurants without a Food Safety and Standards Authority of India, that is FSSAI, license. The company has about 55,000 restaurants on its online ordering roll call. What it also means is that it is time to put the kitchens in order. IB Times reported in September 2018, and I quote, Zomato will also run mandatory hygiene checks following the food safety and hygiene checklist before listing any cloud kitchen on its platform. These hygiene checks are conducted by accredited third-party auditors. The FSSAI had in July directed food delivery startups, including Zomato, Swiggy, and Uber Eats, to delist those restaurants from their platform that did not have a license issued by the regulator following several complaints on poor quality food being delivered by such platforms. The regulator had also stated in August that about 30 to 40% of listed food businesses by e-commerce aggregators were still unlicensed or unregistered. In many cases, listed food businesses have recently applied for FSSAI license or registration, but still do not possess them. So as you can see, as checks and balances hitherto missing click into place, there will be some amount of impact on not just online food delivery platforms like Swiggy and Zomato, but also on grocery players such as Grofers and Big Basket. As IB Times further went on to note, as per the norms in the supply chain, food products offered for sale are liable to sampling. Moreover, for the better recognition of food by the customers, the companies will have to provide an indicative image of the food on their platform. Unquote. The Economic Times also reported that the companies will have to provide all the mandatory information as per the Food Safety and Standards Act. The food delivery players will also have to make sure that only fresh food is delivered to consumers. So more vigilance is clearly the order of the day. FSSAI Chief Executive Pawan Agarwal went on to say, and I quote, with increasing use of e-commerce platforms by consumers, the guidelines are aimed at stepping up vigilance on the safety of food provided to consumers. These guidelines will help in building confidence in the e-commerce food business sector and increase its credibility, unquote. For now, the food delivery giants have made welcoming noises in response to regulatory guidelines issued by FSSAI. However, online grocery startup Grofers Chief Executive Albinder Dhinsa wanted FSSAI to enforce these guidelines even on the merchant partners. But of course, we are digressing. The point of this piece is the expansion of the online food delivery business, the reasons behind its growth, and how it will now deal with increased scrutiny of its operations. Something that has now become such an integral part of our daily lives certainly needs digging deeper into, and the evolution of the food delivery app ecosystem is what's coming up next. As has always been the norm with these podcasts, we return to first principles. How did food delivery apps change the way we eat? As Quartz India put it in a November 2018 piece, in India, dining out is giving way to eating in, and the impact is more than visible on urban dining habits. Ask yourself, how many times did you order food online this week? Too many times is probably what you will answer. Just as Netflix and other OTT content platforms have transformed the way we consume entertainment, food apps are changing the way we dine. And restaurant chains are waking up to this new shift. Case in point is tea retailer Chai Point launching a new cafe in Bangalore with a layout that has an area demarcated for food delivery apps personnel. Said Quartz, and I quote, global food brands like McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken too are bolstering their tie-ups with food aggregator startups like Zomato and Swiggy, even setting up separate teams to manage these platforms. India's largest homegrown coffee shop chain, Cafe Coffee Day, has also launched a virtual restaurant at its existing outlets to cater only to orders from Uber Eats, the food delivery arm of the cab-hailing app Uber. Shubham Anand, the head of retail consumer packaged goods at the consulting firm Redseer, went on to say, and I quote, while the large chains, that is food and cafe chains, have their own fleet, they cannot match the reach of food aggregators, and from a customer point of view, they increasingly want more elaborate meals. So being present on these platforms is essential, unquote. India's online food delivery market is at $7 billion, that is 50,375 crore rupees, with even global players like Google launching a restaurant delivery and home services platform called Aereo to cash in. Quartz again, it's Zomato and Swiggy that lead the pack with a combined 80% share. Revenues at Swiggy grew over 6 times from the previous year to touch 133 crore rupees in 2017, while Zomato posted an 80% year-on-year jump in turnover to 333 crore rupees in the same year. Unquote. Bangalore-headquartered Swiggy already hosts over 45,000 restaurants and will take brands such as Domino's, McDonald's, Pizza Hut, Burger King and Faso's to newer locations, especially in Tier 2 and Tier 3 markets. Even McDonald's is realizing now just how technology can muster faster profits, with Quartz pointing out that 70% of McDonald's deliveries now come via online ordering. And besides its 340 or more outlets in India, KFC is also experimenting with stealth kitchens or dark kitchens that operate as delivery hubs to further widen the reach and leverage of the rapidly growing online food delivery mode. I used the term dark kitchens just a little bit earlier. We'll explore that. But first, let's find out just how expansive growth almost always comes with certain pitfalls. In the context of this feature, we're of course referring to the FSSAI that has called out food delivery businesses for hosting unverified outlets and has asked for assurance that the companies will train its staff and engage in capacity building of restaurants for improving food safety and hygiene, rather than focusing only on deep discounts and aggressive marketing. According to Quartz, profit-marring deep discounts and the lack of safety checks have cast a shadow on the survival chances of the aggregators in the long run. And even restaurants, therefore, are cautious not to be overly reliant on third-party apps, and some, like Domino's, have revamped their own in-house ordering apps. Another Quartz article published in January 2019 also touched upon the increasing regulatory heat being faced by online delivery companies. The new set of guidelines issued by Food Safety and Standards Authority of India are as following. Number 1, acquiring a license from the Central Licensing Authority. Number 2, making provisions for arbitrary quality checks by the regulator during any time in the delivery process. Number 3, only selling products with a remaining shelf life of either 30% or 45 days before expiry at the time of delivery. Number 4, signing a deal stating seller's compliance with food safety rules with the liability resting with food business operators. Number 5, food establishments have to now mention their FSSAI license registration and hygiene grading. Number 6, food establishments to provide the actual image of the dish on their platforms so that consumers can recognize the product. Number 7, before purchase, consumers to be provided information in the Food Safety and Standards Act. Number 8, trained personnel to ensure last mile delivery so that product safety is not compromised at the time of delivery. As the Quartz piece put it, and I quote, so far, startups such as Swiggy and Zomato operate only as a conduit between the consumer and restaurants, picking up orders and delivering them. The government is now clearly putting the onus on the conduits. The FSSAI has already been auditing food delivery apps to ensure compliance on the safety and hygiene fronts, unquote. As has been reported repeatedly last year, following a series of complaints against the aggregators for listing substandard restaurants and for delivering low-quality food, the FSSAI in July asked 10 such companies, including Swiggy, Zomato, Uber Eats, Foodpanda, and LimeTray, to delist unlicensed restaurants by July 31st. Quartz repeats, as do we, that despite the directive, licenses and registrations of up to 40% of the restaurants listed by the platforms were not verified. By October, though, they had delisted over 5,000 restaurants. And now, Quartz ties in the increased vigilance with the very case study we began this podcast with. Yes, the December video of a Zomato delivery person eating food from delivery boxes, an incident that further increased food safety concern and the debate around it. At this moment in time, the companies have no choice but to comply with the new directives. Sources at Swiggy told Quartz that in full compliance of Food Safety and Standards Act and rules, all unregistered restaurants were disabled and all attempts are being made to inculcate the necessary confidence and control last-mile delivery and safety of food. Zomato said in an email response to Quartz that apart from introducing initiatives like training sessions for restaurant partners and to obtain certification, it is also tied up with third parties to set up a helpline for restaurants to meet compliance standards. A DIY kit that do-it-yourself kit is also circulated to restaurant partners to further ease the process. The company, says the piece, also has a supply platform called Hyperpure, which helps it source fresh ingredients for the restaurants. The company has launched hygiene rating services for restaurants in late 2017 and has already conducted audits at over 6,000 restaurants in India. Quoting from Zomato, while we are already compliant with the mandatory directives in the FSS Act, we will work with FSSAI on any measures required to drive the development in the ecosystem. Unquote. The other question we're asking ourselves is, how have we come to this point when getting food delivered has become more of a preoccupation than actually preparing it for the great Indian family, especially when cooking has always been an intrinsic part of food culture in India? When 107-year-old YouTube cooking legend Mastan Amma passed away recently, her thousands of fans across the world did not just mourn her passing, but also a certain way of being, of taking time over recipes, cooking with the seasons and elements, and sharing a home-cooked meal with family and friends. She evoked the kind of nostalgia that reminded so many of us of family kitchens redolent with the aroma of delicious secrets passed down from generation to generation, of unique spice mixes, the crackle of fresh seasoning, and the satisfaction of feeding a loved one with something cooked with care, of all the things that food appearing in a brown paper bag does not invoke. That times have changed is obvious. From a time when the only respite from cooking was a packet of Maggi noodles, we now have cuisines from around the world at our fingertips. And this shortcut to satisfaction is taking over not just India, but in fact the world. Business Insider, in July 2018, quoted a study from Swiss investment bank UBS's Evidence Lab that asks this very startling question: is the kitchen dead? It is the Evidence Labs team's belief that there could be a scenario where by 2030, most meals currently cooked at home are instead ordered online and delivered from either restaurants or central kitchens. The ramifications for the food retail, food producer and restaurant industries could be substantial, as also the impact on property markets, home appliances and robotics. A brainstorming workshop conducted by Asian Paints in New Delhi a few years ago had asked its panelists why the kitchen was now a central showpiece in modern Indian homes rather than a space tucked away out of sight. While some stated that it could be because those who cook do not want to remain unseen and want to be visible and be a part of the family dynamics, there is another reason, which could have been that the home kitchens don't work as hard as they once did and can afford to be more cosmetic than practical. The grime and oil and smoke and steam, markers of a functioning kitchen, have all but disappeared from most upmarket kitchens because they are, well, mostly non-functioning. To counter the culture of convenience, we also have food movements advocating everything from vegan recipes to healthy and clean eating to slow cooking. Growing your own food organically, being mindful of the single-use packaging waste that online delivery generates are some of the ideas that are beginning to gain momentum, though they are not yet powerful enough to dent the profits made by food delivering companies and apps. As the website Treehugger went on to note, one factor driving the gradual extinction of the kitchen is the explosion of food delivery apps. According to UBS, food delivery apps are now, on average, in the top 40 most downloaded apps in most major markets. They're particularly beloved by millennials, who are three times more likely to order takeaway than their parents. As this generation matures, home cooking could fade away. Unquote. UBS Evidence Lab went on to say, and I quote, like almost anything else, food is cheaper when it is mass-produced. The total cost of production of a professionally cooked and delivered meal could approach the cost of home-cooked food or beat it when time is factored in. Unquote. The piece reminds us of the time when families tailored their own clothes till industrialization increased production capacity and established supply chains. We could be now at the first stage of industrializing meal production and delivery, says the article, citing an architect who says that like buying clothes instead of making them, ordering in our meals pushes us to outsource domestic work. The other side of this argument is, of course, that by depending solely on ordering food, we could harm local and seasonal markets of produce and diminish the satisfaction we derive from a home-cooked meal. Mumbai's famous Dabbawalas had in fact struck a sweet balance much before the advent of food delivery apps between convenience and home-cooked wholesomeness. Perhaps more home kitchens will get on the online food wagon and make nostalgic foodies very happy. There are already many companies like Masala Monk in the market now selling homemade chai, masalas, pickles and marmalades. Still, as we gravitate more and more towards convenience, where even ordering chai and coffee online seems rather normal, it seems likely, if not inevitable, as the article suggests, that most of our food will someday be prepared in large robotic kitchens and delivered by drones and droids. Would you need a kitchen at home then? Well, the answer could be tied to another question. Do you need a sewing machine at home now? History does not repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme. Well, to answer that question, what needs to be considered, however, is that there's a difference between how food is cooked and how clothes are tailored, and the two satisfy two different needs. While ordering food, the customer cannot at any given point in time control how and where the food delivered to her or him is prepared. Now comes the question about the dark kitchens we touched upon earlier. As a Guardian article published in October 2018 points out, the off-site dark kitchens created specifically to churn out online orders are not pleasant places to work and cook in. The article reminds us that on the other side of the convenience we take for granted are dark kitchens and dark supermarkets and dark stores or distribution centers where a mixture of largely low-paid workers and ever more sophisticated systems of machinery prepare and pack the stuff we buy online. Why and how are they dark is a good question to ask. Well, The Guardian specifies, and I quote the rather longer but enlightening passage, which goes thus. They are dark in two interlinked senses. One is conceptual. What happens inside them seems to barely intrude on our perception of the companies that own and run them. Whereas a brand name like Tesco or Waterstones or Pizza Express will instantly conjure up a mental image of actual premises, workers and some measure of human activity, the names at the cutting edge of the new economy, Ocado, Deliveroo, Amazon, Swiggy or Zomato, feel like they signify only the goodies they bring us and a futuristic kind of efficiency. You click, the doorbell rings and you get your stuff. Who gives much thought to the often grim human work that makes it happen? Which brings us to the second literal meaning of dark and workplaces that are usually windowless and thereby devoid of natural light. There are clear echoes here of things always seemingly inbuilt within capitalism. William Blake's dark satanic mills, pitch-black coal mines, the nocturnal privations of shift work. Light and dark have always been signifiers for the quality of work and what it can do to people's psyches. What seems remarkable is that in a post-industrial economy, replete with ideas of employment as a means of professional and personal fulfillment, that dichotomy is returning at speed. Unquote. And that, once again, takes us back to the primary question we asked right at the beginning. What about the people who make these businesses run? The Guardian piece cites research according to which almost a third of those surveyed that they had to work at very high speeds all or almost all of the time. It is a given that the unrelenting stress can take a toll on efficiency and the desired code of conduct. And that precisely is what we saw with the Zomato delivery person as well. As The Guardian went on to say, and I quote, "This is no way to run an economy, let alone a society. At the absolute grassroots, it is great to see it being fiercely contested, as evidenced by a one-day strike by people working for a range of catering firms in Britain, including not just McDonald's, Wetherspoons and TGI Fridays, but the delivery services like Uber Eats and Deliveroo. The responsibility for their predicament lies not just with the corporations who insist on people working at a breakneck pace for impossibly low wages and often living like moles, but those of us who so blithely click and consume. Maybe it is time not just that the darkness receded in workplaces up and down the country, but that the light went on in our own heads." Unquote.
The Deep Dive podcast series. Swiggy to Zomato. Food delivery apps are now under a bigger microscope.
So there we have it. As the food delivery ecosystem in India grows and grows, it would be prudent to calculate the hidden costs of the culture of consumption that promotes convenience, sometimes at the cost of the very people who feed it and are fed by it. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast, and you have been listening to Money Control.